One Christmas Eve, or Christmas season, little Johnny was going to write a letter to Santa Claus. But then he remembered that his parents had told him that Santa Claus doesn't really exist, and they've been talking about this Jesus guy and how Jesus was the reason for Christmas. So he decides instead to write his letter to Jesus. So he writes out all the things that he wants. He lists out all of his presents, and he starts the address to Jesus. Dear Jesus, I have been a good boy all year long. He remembers that one incident with the fireworks, and he goes, nope, can't say that. Okay, dear Jesus, I have been a good boy for the last 6 months. And then something else pops in his head. He's like, I can't lie to Jesus. He knows everything. Fine. Dear Jesus, I have been a good boy for the last month. Can't say that either. He crosses that out. He's getting really frustrated. Finally, dear Jesus, I've been a good boy for the last week. Oh, but he remembers that he hit his sister earlier in the week. So he crosses that out. He doesn't know what to say. He throws his pen down. He looks around the room, and he sees the family's nativity scene sitting there. He knows just what to do. He goes over and grabs the figurine of Mary, comes back, sits it by the paper, and writes, Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again. I think sometimes we can think about the gifts of Christmas kind of like little Johnny. You know, that it's completely dependent on, man, have I been a good boy this week? Can I ask God for his peace and his hope and his joy? Have I been a good enough boy, a good enough girl this week, this month, this year? Forgetting the fact that it's about the grace of God more so than my performance. Sometimes we think we have to coerce God. Maybe we don't want to take, you know, Jesus' mother and hold her ransom, but we try to sort of manipulate God. God, if you will just do this, I'll do this. All the time, maybe forgetting the fact that the gifts that God has given us come from amazing, benevolent God who gives salvation as a free gift from him. And so this Christmas season, we celebrate the gifts of Jesus, the gifts of who he is. The Advent season is about the fact that Jesus himself is a gift, but he also brings us gifts. And we started our first week talking about the fact that we have a God who gives us hope. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We have hope for the future, hope for eternity, hope for life and life to the full in Jesus Christ. And last week we talked about peace, the fact that we have a God that gives us peace that surpasses all understanding, that will guard our hearts and minds when we are in Christ Jesus. In Christmas season, we get to celebrate the amazing peace that God gives us that isn't dependent on our circumstances. It's not dependent on the storms around us. It's dependent on who's in the boat with us in the storms. And this week, we get to celebrate joy. The joy of the Lord. As Jesus says in John chapter 15, he says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. And we're going to talk about this complete joy today, but before we do, I want to invite you to bow your heads with me as we come before God and say, God, thank you for the gifts that you've given us. Thank you for the gifts of this Christmas season. Thank you for your Son. And God, today as we talk about your joy, would you just help that same joy to well up in us today? And maybe for those of us who maybe struggle in this area, maybe feel like they haven't had a lot to be joyful about this week, or maybe just haven't felt very joyful in a while, God, we just thank you for the way your Holy Spirit works in us. And I pray that that work happens today and we look a lot more like you and your Son Jesus when we walk out of here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as growing up, there was a pretty well-known song about joy that we would sing in the church. Maybe you know it. It goes, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Thank you for asking. It's down in my heart. Got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart on Tuesday. At least that's what I thought the song was when I was a kid, because the words are, I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart to stay. But for the longest time as a kid, I didn't understand what the joy of the Lord had to do with Tuesdays. And then I saw a similar or another issue in the church. Not only was the joy of the Lord only on Tuesdays, apparently, but then I would go to church sometimes as a kid. And we learn about this Jesus that changes everything. This reason to celebrate. This amazing thing that could change everything in our life. And then I'd look around the church, and I'd be around the church, and I'd see a lot of people that just weren't very happy. Like they were just really, really grumpy about everything, and the way they talked about Jesus and God, and even talked about the church sometimes, it was just very like almost like, man, just stop having fun in church, stop smiling, stop doing this. I mean, the Son of God came down, died on a cross for our sins, so we could have life and life to the full, and that same Spirit that raised Him from the dead lives inside of us. Why would you be smiling and be happy? What is wrong with you? Like, are you serious? Just the way people would talk about God, it was so joyless sometimes. And I came to the conclusion, I mean, I knew the problem. Eventually I realized, oh yeah, of course, I figured it out. The joy of the Lord, the joy, joy, joy lives in our hearts on Tuesdays. And here we are having church on Sundays like a bunch of idiots. That must be the problem, right? Obviously, as I got older, I realized that wasn't the problem. But there still is a problem in the church sometimes. For a people that have been saved by God's grace, that say they believe these things, sometimes I think we really lack joy in the church. There's a lot of Christians who say they're walking with Jesus, but the way their lives looks like just the rest of the world. They're just as stressed out by everything that happens as anybody else. They don't have this joy and this peace that surpasses all understanding. And so today I want to talk about this joy that is promised to us in God's Word and talk about those things that maybe steal our joy from us. This joy that is talked about in Scripture is not simply an emotion, it's an experience. The experience of drawing close to Jesus, and then as He works in us, it just flows out of our life. It's kind of like the moment maybe when, maybe if you went into a store and decided to buy a lottery ticket only to realize that lottery ticket, man, just won you the Powerball. You just want a lot of money, and you walk outside, and there's a parking ticket on your car. Is that going to affect your day? I don't care. Take the car for all I care, right? In the same way, when you're so close to Jesus, and you realize everything He's done for you, and you see Him working in your life, it's like this joy just comes out, and it's like, I don't care what you do to me. Well, what are you going to do to me? I've got Jesus living in my heart, the Son of God working on me, God's Holy Spirit producing fruit in my life. I have my present and my future taken care of by the Son of God. There's this peace that just is amazing. In 1 Peter 1:8, Peter writes that believers are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Galatians chapter 5, it says that that there's some fruit that the Holy Spirit will produce in your life. First one is love. Second one is what? Joy. The Holy Spirit working in your life will produce joy in you. This joy is delighting in what I already have in Christ versus focusing on what I don't have in my life. It's something that's created in me by God's Spirit. It's not an emotion, thankfully, because emotions change, don't they? It's not circumstantial because my circumstances can change like that. It is something that is spiritual that lives in me. It's an experience, experiencing God and His Holy Spirit. But for this experience to happen in my life, there's some choices I have to make. It was just read a little bit ago, James 1, verses 2 and 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Consider it pure joy. Other versions say count it pure joy. There is an action that's associated here, isn't there? This thing happens and I'm going to count it joy. I'm going to make the choice to bring joy to this situation. Well, how in the world do I do that? Because as I grow closer and closer to Jesus and I work through these things and grow more and more mature in my faith, there's just this joy that pours out of me when bad things happen in my life. Now, the fact is, this isn't always an easy thing to do, but what is James talking about here? He's talking about a process of growth, of maturity. As you do this, as you make the choice to choose joy, it will get easier and easier. You will grow in maturity and perseverance in your faith. Fact is, this joy comes from being so close to Jesus. Just sitting at the feet of Jesus that you just have this joy, 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 joy down in your heart. That's there to stay. And on Tuesdays. If you got your Bibles, I'd love for you to go to Luke chapter 10. See, the fact is, there are a lot of things, despite what we talk about with joy, that can steal our joy, can't they? There's a lot of things around us that can take our joy from us and make it harder to have this joy of the Lord in our life. And I want to look at an example in Luke chapter 10. Jesus goes to a friend's house. You may know this, these two friends, as being the sisters of Lazarus. We've talked about them a little bit. It says he goes, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened up her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So you got two sisters that have some guests over. Martha invites Jesus into her home, and suddenly she starts to get frustrated. If you've ever had a large number of people over to your house, it gets a little frustrating when there's people sitting around, isn't there? You try to get everything done. But in this moment, Martha is not experiencing a lot of joy, is she? She invites Jesus into her home. She knows who Jesus is and wants to be close to him, and she invites him into her home, and despite that, she's not having a lot of joy. She's frustrated, she's angry, she's ticked off. And finally, she comes to Jesus, and Jesus kind of points some things out to her in her life, and I think some of the same things that took away Martha's joy are some things that can take away joy in our life, too. And the first one is this, distractions. Going back to verse 40. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Sometimes it's hard to have joy when we're so incredibly busy. I mean, sometimes in a schedule sense, like we're too busy just to sit at the feet of Jesus. We have so much going on. Our schedules are packed. And sometimes it's because our schedules are packed with stuff that just shouldn't be in there. Or it's packed with stuff that takes away from our joy, takes away from drawing close to Jesus. One of my favorite Christmas movies of all time, besides Die Hard, is The Grinch with Jim Carrey. And there's this one scene I've always loved where he's invited to go to an event and he says, "Oh, let me check my calendar." And he says, "Well, first, 4 o'clock, wallow in self-pity. 4:30, stare into the abyss. 5 o'clock, solve world hunger, tell no one. 5:30, jazzercise. 6:30, dinner with me, and I can't cancel that again. And finally, 7 o'clock, wrestle with my self-loathing. See, I'm booked." And I think there's a lot of Christians that are in the same boat. They wonder where joy is in their life, and they're too busy wrestling with their self-loathing, staring into the abyss, and beating up themselves, having things that take away their joy, and they don't have enough time for God's joy to work in their life, to sit at the feet of Jesus. Some people feel like, man, I tried to be joyful, but I got a flat tire today. But my kids flipped out and had a tantrum. But my spouse is crazy. People suck. Whatever the reason is, sometimes it can feel like there's so much stuff going on, I can't choose joy in my life because I'm just too distracted by all the things going on around me. Martha's going through this. And then she has the ultimate distraction in our life. The number one distraction that will distract you from having joy and peace in your life. There's someone in Martha's life that's just ticking her off. I mean, you notice it's not just the fact that she's doing things. It's that she's doing things. She's trying to get all this stuff done. But in her heart, in her mind, she's like, she's really frustrated with her sister. Here she is trying to get everything done, and her sister has the audacity to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him. In that day, sitting at the feet of someone was the posture you would take with a professor, someone you were learning from. And so she's there sitting and learning at Jesus' feet, and she has the audacity to do that while she's stressed out. And it's just building and building and building in her. And you see what she says. She eventually comes and goes, God, don't you care? Lord, Jesus, don't you care? This is all building inside of her. Ephesians 4 tells us to get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Why? Because without forgiveness in your life, you will experience far less joy. It is really hard to have the joy of the Lord when you're still ticked off at everybody else in your life. I mean, Jesus even says, listen, if you don't forgive others, you won't get forgiveness. But on top of that, unforgiveness, hatred towards others, bitterness towards others, I've often heard it said, is like drinking a poison and expecting someone else to die. It's this thing that will eat you up and eat you up and eat you up. And a lot of times I have found that a lot of Christians struggle with joy. They don't have this joy of the Lord in their life because they're still really, really angry at some people in their life. And sometimes we will read through the verses like when Jesus says, listen, if you want forgiveness and you won't give it to other people, boy, don't expect forgiveness from God. And sometimes it can feel a little harsh, like, almost like God's like playing a sick practical joke. Like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make them forgive people that they don't want to forgive. And I'm going to tell them they can't get forgiveness unless they go forgive other people. Maybe it's that, or maybe it's the fact that God knows everything. He knows what's best for our lives. And he knows that this is something that is so incredibly important. That if we're walking around with unforgiveness in our life, there is something that's going to be missing inside of you. One of the biggest distractions from joy in your life is hatred for others, unforgiveness towards others. One of the most freeing things you can do is turn things over to God and allow forgiveness to start working in your life. And I think for so many, you'll find so much more joy in your life. The second thing, besides distractions, the second one is comparison. We look at Martha, eventually she comes and says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself? Tell her to help me. Which is interesting. Last week we read a story and we heard some very similar words. The disciples are in a boat and suddenly all the waves start coming around them. Suddenly They start to get scared. And what do they do when they wake up Jesus? Lord, don't you care about us? Don't you care that we're going to drown? Sometimes when we get in this place where we're so focused on ourselves and we're so focused on everything around us instead of on Jesus, eventually we get to this point where it's like, that's how we come to God. God, don't you care? Don't you care about what's going on in me? Sometimes our biggest thief of joy is looking at everyone else around us. God, don't you care that I'm going through this? How come they don't have to go through this? How come they don't have any trials going on in their life right now? How come they seem to be doing good? Even Jeremiah, one of my favorite moments in the Bible, is the moment when Jeremiah comes before God and he just says, God, you're good, you're awesome, and you're amazing. Kind of a compliment sandwich here. He starts off, God, you're so good, but I would talk to you about your justice. Why is it that I'm following you and my life sucks and everyone else seems to be doing good who isn't following you? When we focus on everything else around us, it can get to this point where our joy just gets robbed and stolen because we're so focused on, well, how come they have this? How come they have that? When I compare myself to other people, I will never be happy. Because someone is always more joyful, having more going on in their life than me at any given moment. There's always someone or something I can compare myself to that makes it seem like my life really, really stinks. And the problem is, when I do this, when I'm so focused on everyone else around me, what eventually comes is complaining. That's what happens. Comparison always leads to complaining. Philippians chapter 2 says, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Over and over again, as you look at the children of Israel, their biggest problem was, in fact, complaining. Over and over again, things would go well, and they start to complain. Things would go well, they start to complain. And oftentimes, it was because of comparison. They would go, look at all them. Look at what these nations do. Look over here. Why can't we have this? Why can't we have an image of God that we can actually touch that isn't just up on some mountain? Why can't we have a leader that doesn't take like forever to come back with words from God? Why don't we just make our own God? Over and over again, their issue was comparison to other people. One of the biggest thieves of joy you can ever have in your life is comparing yourself to others. And finally, it's your choices. What do you choose in your life? What does Jesus say to Martha? Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about so many things. But few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Sometimes we read this story, especially if you're someone who's more of like the homemaker who takes care of people, you can almost feel a little offended for Martha. Like, hold on. Okay, there's a lot of food to cook. And what are you doing saying, Martha, Martha, you're worried about many things, but you're like, are you going to cook the food, Jesus? Like, what's going on here? And sometimes you almost wonder, like is the point of this that Martha shouldn't have been cooking? That she shouldn't have been preparing? No. That's great. And a couple things to remember here. One, this is her idea. She invited Jesus into her home. She invites Jesus into her home, but then she gets so overwhelmed by all of these good things. See, Jesus makes a really interesting statement. He says, Mary has chosen what is better. What I've found in life is that there are a lot of good things in the world. There's a lot of good stuff out there. But then there's God stuff. Then there's better stuff. That doesn't mean the good things are bad. It just means that if your life is so full of good stuff that there's no room for sitting at the feet of Jesus, then you are going to miss out on a lot in your life. We can fill our life with so much good stuff. We can fill our life with things like kids' sports games. They're good. They're awesome. But if it takes away from the better, then we're going to have an issue in our walk with Jesus. There's so many things that are like, man, this is good. Vacations are good. Leisure time is good. Work is good. But it can get to a point where it stacks up so much where that's all that's in your life and there's no room for just sitting at the feet of Jesus and allowing his presence to wash over you and overwhelm you. At any point in time, if I have too much of something to where it takes away from me being able just to sit at the feet of Jesus and allow his peace and his joy to just well up inside of me, I'm going to have issues. I'm going to be more stressed. I'm going to be more angry. I'm going to struggle probably with my relationship with God because I'm not taking the time to let him renew me and restore me. I can even get to a point in my life where I have so much good stuff of Jesus, good stuff of the church, that I don't even take time just for my own personal relationship with Jesus. I can get so focused on doing the things for God instead of doing life with God. Doing stuff for Jesus instead of just doing life with Jesus and allowing him to work in me. And this is why, man, your quiet time is so important. Your worship time is so important. Taking that time to restore your soul, whatever that looks like for you, to actually intentionally spend time with God and let him work in you. Not just doing the things all the time, but asking, what are the best things in my life? The fact is, the most important things in my life don't take up the majority of my life. But if they're really the most important things, they're the first thing in my life. They're the non-negotiable thing in my life. Galatians 5:16 says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh." Galatians 5, Paul writes out this nice list of two different types of fruit. He says, your flesh will produce anger and bitterness and slander and brawling. But if you walk by the Spirit, you will have joy. You will have peace, love. All these things. And so today I just want to invite us to make that choice to walk by the Spirit today, to make that choice to sit at the feet of Jesus today and invite his joy to fill us up. If you're in a position in your life where things have just maybe not been going so well, you feel like despite all this stuff going on, it's just frustrating to go to church. It's frustrating to spend time with God. It's frustrating to try to do these things. Maybe you're just lacking some joy this Christmas season. There's an old song that we just sang a little bit ago. Joy to the world. Let earth receive her king. And every heart prepare him room. It's really hard to receive this joy when your heart hasn't prepared him room. Receiving and preparing are both action statements. And there's something that's necessary for us to have God's joy in our life. We have to receive the gift that he's giving us and make room for it in our life for it to overflow and bubble out. And so today, as we bow our heads, I just want you to bow your heads and in your own space, in your own hearts, I just want you to contemplate for a second where you're at today. If you're in a position today where, man, you just say, man, I don't have a lot of this joy that's spoken of. I'm really struggling. I just want to invite you in your heart of hearts just to cry out to God, because the Bible says that when we seek him, we will find him when we search him with our whole heart. I want to invite you just to cry out to him and say, God, I repent of anything in my life that is taking me away from just sitting at your feet and experiencing your joy. God, would you convict me of any areas of my life? Whether it be distractions in my life, whether it be things that are good, but they're not God. They're not the better things. Maybe it's unforgiveness in my life, that I'm just holding on to some bitterness and some rage in my heart. Whatever it is, I pray you can bring it to God today and allow him to have it all. But also, I want to pray for just anyone in this place today who's maybe never started a relationship with Jesus. Who maybe has talked about it. They've been to church. They maybe know who Jesus is or an idea of who he is. But maybe they've never taken that step out to say, listen, I'm going to give you everything. I want to experience this joy in my life that comes from knowing you and serving you and living your way. And if anyone who can hear my voice is making that decision today, man, I just celebrate with them, and I pray that right now in their hearts they would just say, God, I give you everything. I want to experience Jesus this way. I want you to have it all, be Lord of my life and take everything. I repent of anything that isn't of you. I turn from it now and turn to your way. God, I thank you for how you're working in this place today. I pray that your joy would just overflow in us today. We would just continue to celebrate you and who you are. God, your son is such an amazing gift. God, I pray we don't squander it. I pray we don't take it for granted. I pray we don't misunderstand what it's meant to do in our life, what Jesus is meant to do in our life. God, you're so good. You're so awesome. You're so amazing. Thank you for who you are and how you're working. And we just continue to sing your praises today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.